Continuing to read from the Gospel of John, John 19, verse 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's ask the Lord to bless the preaching of his word. Father, we thank you that the Apostle John has written for us the account of what happened on that awful Friday when our Savior was crucified. And yet, Lord, we praise you that in his death we find and are given everlasting life. And Lord, I just pray that your Spirit be here tonight so that we would see Jesus and believe him and love him, and that we would honor him as our Lord and our God. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We'll be looking at those words of Christ tonight. It is finished. Now, this is the time of year for final exams. I well remember my final exam of my final semester in my final year at Dort College, and walking out of that classroom with an incredible sense of accomplishment and freedom. I was finally done after all those years of school. I was finished. I assume that same feeling of great accomplishment would be experienced by those who, after they've run a marathon or given birth to a baby. Two things I assure you I'm equally unlikely to ever experience. But those are moments of profound accomplishment, moments of great completion. Tonight we are reflecting on the single greatest accomplishment in the history of mankind, the completion of God's great work of redemption through the atoning death of his own Son, Jesus Christ. This is a moment for Christ of exhausted exhilaration as he lays down his life now and submits his spirit to the Father. This must have been a moment of deep satisfaction as Jesus announces to the demons of hell and the angels of heaven and sinners on earth that the work of redemption was now complete. It was finished. In order to appreciate this final word of the Lord, in order to grasp its significance, we need just to remember the context and see its necessity. Jesus spoke these words into a sinful, fallen, guilty world. A world that he himself had made good and beautiful and pure. And yet a world that sin had entered in through the disobedience of Adam. And then through his act of rebellion and the multiplied millions and millions of acts of rebellion ever since, this world has suffered the devastating fruits of disasters and diseases, the heartache of death, the horror of hell. Man's bent, twisted nature, his hatred of God and his love for what is evil has brought the demons out of the abyss and wreaked untold wreckage and wrong in this world. And worst of all, we have placed ourselves under the perfectly just and awful wrath of the living, holy God. And we can't undo it. We can't fix it. We can't make it right. We have no means whereby we can satisfy the demands of holy justice. As the prophet Micah asked, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the sin of my body, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And the answer, of course, is no. None of those things will suffice. There's nothing that we can give and nothing that we can do to rescue ourselves from the evil within us or the demons around us or the judgment that stands before us. This is the context in which we need to view this text and the words of our Savior. This is the reason He's there, hanging on the cross. This is why He came into this world, for this very moment and for this specific work. In the English, it's three words. It is finished. In the original language, it's just one word, tetelestai. And Jesus uses the perfect tense of that word, which signifies a completed action that has ongoing ramifications, ongoing results. In other words, Jesus was not just saying that this chapter was now closed, but this act, being finished, would reverberate down the corridors of time and eternity. This is the accomplishment that defines the future of the world and the destiny of every man. And so tonight we'll just ask a few questions. First, what specifically was finished? What was finished? What does Jesus mean by "it is finished"? And the best answer to that, I believe, is the Father's work of redemption is finished. Jesus saw His ministry as nothing more and nothing less than the doing of His Father's will and His Father's work. At the very beginning of His ministry, we hear Him in John chapter 4, 34, saying, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to bring His work to completion." Jesus was a man consumed by a mission. His every waking moment was driven by the thought of the Father's work and His calling to complete that work. That was His food. It's what He hungered for more than anything else in the world. And Jesus saw the cross as the completion of His Father's work. And so He says in John 17, verse 4, in the high priestly prayer, as He prepares to go to the cross, "I have brought you," speaking to His Father, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." The Father had given Him a work to do, a saving work, a redeeming work, a work of overthrowing the works of the devil and overcoming the curse of sin and making all things new. That was the significance of the miracles, wasn't it? The miracles were little miniature revelations of the cosmic work that Jesus was about. This work of Jesus was the most magnificent work in all the universe. There's no greater work in heaven or on earth, in time or eternity, than this work. It was planned before the foundations of the world. It was a work of utmost import. The eternal glory of the Father, the defeat of Satan, the salvation of God's elect, all hung in the balance. This was the work that Jesus had come to perform. This was the work the Father had given Him to do. And I don't believe there could be any doubt that this is what Jesus is referring to when He says, "It is finished." This grand, glorious work of His Father was complete. It was accomplished. As He surveyed His ministry, His earthly life, He knew that He had perfectly and completely fulfilled His Father's will. What a joy that must have been for our Savior as He gave up His spirit. The Father's work was done. The Father's great mission was accomplished. It was finished. But how exactly was it done? How was it accomplished? And the answer, of course, is that it was accomplished by Jesus bearing the wrath of God and atoning for our sin. It was accomplished, finally, by Jesus dying in the place of sinners and bearing the wrath of God due to them. One commentator writes this. He says, "Every Jewish person there would have instantly recognized this word, tetelestai, as the equivalent of a Hebrew phrase that was used in the Old Testament sacrificial system. Each year on the Jewish holiday called the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter into the temple and make a special sacrifice for the sins of the people of Israel. As soon as the priest had killed the animal, he would emerge from the place of sacrifice and declare to the waiting crowd, "It is finished," in Hebrew. In this sacrifice, all the sins of Israel were symbolically placed on the lamb that was killed and punished in their place. And yet we know from Scripture that the blood of bulls and goats and lambs can't actually take away sin. They only point to the need of a sacrifice, a greater sacrifice. Not even the blood of men can take away sin. We know that there are cultures throughout time where people offer up human sacrifices, thinking that surely a human sacrifice must be able to appease the wrath of the gods. And tragically, they're completely wrong. Even a human sacrifice is powerless to wash away our sin. It can't break our bondage to evil. It can't reverse the curse. It can't make us right with God. There's nothing that can make us right with God except this man, this sinless man, this God-man bearing our sin and dying in our place and thus breaking the power of the curse through his atoning death. In the book of Hebrews, we read that Jesus accomplished this act not just there on Golgotha, but he accomplished this act spiritually and truly. He offered this sacrifice in the temple of heaven. The writer says that Jesus entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what tetelestai meant for Jesus. He had finished that work. He had done away with sin. He had atoned for the guilt of all his children. What a deep, profound joy he must have had, for he loved his sheep. He loved those the Father had given to him. And what great satisfaction it must have given to him in the midst of his grief and his pain to know that it was finished. He had purchased with his own blood the souls of his dear saints. Well, how exactly does Jesus' death do that? How does it do away with sin? And the answer, of course, is that it accomplishes this work of doing away with our sin because in his death, Jesus is paying the debt of guilt we owe to divine justice. Friends, we live in an inescapably moral universe. You might be amoral. You might not care about right or wrong. But you live in an inescapably moral universe where the Creator deeply cares about right or wrong, a universe in which no sin will be ignored, no sin can be ignored. The debt must and will be paid. And that is what Jesus came to do. That is what he finished on the cross. Michael Maynard writes, maybe the most common use of tetelestai in Jesus' day was in debt collecting. When a person finally paid off a loan, they were issued a receipt that was stamped with the word tetelestai, which meant that their debt was now paid in full. This was verification that they were no longer responsible for any of that debt, that everything they owed was completely and permanently paid for. Isn't that fantastic? That's exactly what we have in the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is a divine receipt given to the hands of every confessing sinner, and stamped in indelible blood on that receipt is the word tetelestai, paid in full. Everything we owed is completely and permanently paid for. The debt is completely and forever gone. It's exactly what Paul says in Colossians 2:13. You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. That's what tetelestai means for you and me. Our debt has been paid in full. Try to imagine the debt of your sin. Just try to imagine all the debt of all your sin against all the goodness and all the grace and all the kindness and all the glory and honor of God. It's a mountain of debt, a debt you could never possibly repay. And that debt stood opposed to you, Paul says. That debt stood there to keep you under the curse of death. It stood there to condemn you to eternal hell. And there was nothing we could do to resolve it. But Jesus did. Jesus paid it all in full. It is finished. It is paid. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. It's all gone. All the curse, all the guilt, all the shame, all the sin. As far as the east is from the west, it is finished. You see, friends, all the love and all the grace and mercy and kindness of God flow to us from this one word, tetelestai. Tetelestai means that no matter how great your sin tonight, there's room at the cross for you. You can be saved. A fountain has been opened deep and wide. It's able to wash away all your sin. Some of you have been in church all your life and you've heard it 1,000 times and you still don't believe it. And I would just invite you tonight to believe it. A sacrifice, friends, has been made, which is able to atone for our guilt, wash away our sin. A righteousness has been made available for us as a free gift to those who will receive it by faith. That's what tetelestai means. Tetelestai means that death has been defeated. Our death has been defeated. This morning I went, it was a beautiful morning, I went to my brother Randy's grave. It'll be 2 years this summer. Death has been defeated. This week we laid the body of Chuck Vlieg into the ground Wednesday. Death has been defeated. We're just sowing seeds. And one day those bodies will spring back to life, a life that we never imagined, because Jesus said tetelestai. It means that a new creation has already begun, that a new heaven and a new earth are awaiting us, and all those who are called, who call on Jesus' name, will enter there. And friend, tonight God the Father and the Lord Jesus invite you to come and be saved. Come and be forgiven. Come and receive the grace and the peace of God made freely available to you because the work is finished. The Father's saving work is accomplished, and there's nothing more that needs to be done. There's nothing left for us to do except to believe it and to receive it and then to spend our lives and eternity thanking Him for it. Praise God, it's finished. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we're stunned at the love that brought you to the cross, and we're so thankful for the fountain of grace and love that flow to us from that place. We are sinners, everyone, guilty of awful things. a mountain of debt that we could never repay. And yet Jesus, by his sacrifice, paid it all. And Lord, I just pray that we would feel the weight lift off our shoulders. We would experience the door of heaven opening and Jesus himself inviting us to come and trust in him, to love him, to walk with him, to believe in him. And Lord, maybe there are some here tonight who've never done that in truth, and I pray, Lord, that tonight might be that time where they hear Jesus speak the word, "It is finished," for them, for their sin, and for their salvation. Lord, transform us by this glorious, glorious truth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Wayne Veenstra will come now and lead us in the Lord's Supper.